I'm Alison Thompson. Welcome to Conversations with Authors. My guest today is author and keynote speaker Ellen Watts. Ellen published her first book, Cosmic Ordering Made Easier, in August 2013 as a way of testing the waters about being an author. But the book has taken her in all sorts of new directions. In our conversation, Ellen talks about what inspired her to write in the first place and her plans for the future. And she has some great advice for anyone who's thinking about writing a book but just can't get started. Good afternoon, Ellen. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you, Alison.
Well, thank you very much for coming along to join this Conversations with Authors today. So I'm going to ask you, first of all, what inspired you to start writing your book?
It's an interesting story because I've been wanting to write a book for a number of years. I'm a trainer and a business growth coach, and I've been wanting to write a business book for years. But the book that I actually ended up writing was almost on a whim. I've been cosmic ordering. The book, by the way, is called Cosmic Ordering Made Easier, How to Get More of What You Want More Often. And whilst I've been cosmic ordering for almost 30 years, I'd always kept it very much under wraps. I didn't want any of my corporate clients to think I was away with the fairies. So I kept it just very much for me and just a few close friends. But a couple of years ago, it sort of got out of the closet. A couple of people started to talk about it, and then it spread a little bit like wildfire. So what actually happened was, a few weeks after the news got out, a college asked me to train in it. So I wrote a workshop, and somebody on the workshop said, this is amazing, you should write a book. And I thought, well, actually, I probably can. It wouldn't be very difficult at all. I've got lots of stories. I've got all the work that I've been doing. And so that's what happened. This book sort of snuck in and took over from the one that I was planning to write. And I took a week off work and I wrote the book in a week. And the whole thing happened incredibly quickly. Not necessarily as planned as perhaps you were hoping the answer to be. But it was it just wanted to get out, Alison, is the only sort of answer I can tell you.
So you said you just sat down and wrote the book in a week. That's quite incredible. What did you learn during the writing process?
The whole thing from start to finish was the most incredible learning curve, because I guess the first thing I learned, that when I got the notion that I wanted to write it and I thought I could write it in a week, and that was a sensible way for the way that I work. But I think the biggest thing I learned really was that it's not just about me. It's not just a case of writing the book is just one part of it. You actually need a whole team. Mm. And you need a wonderful proofreader, an editor. You need someone to design the cover. You need the publisher, layout. There's a whole lot more to it than just the writing itself. So that was a big lesson for me, that the writing was the almost the easy bit. The other sort of lesson for me really was that lesson of discipline. And what I did to write the book, because I took a week off with the plan of writing the book, and I went to write it at home. And 2 days into the week, I hadn't even started because I was trying to get clear the decks of all my work before I could start. So I was trying to clear emails, and I was trying to clear all the stuff in my in-tray. And of course, 2 days into it, it wasn't working, because you never clear this stuff. As soon as you clear something else comes in. I actually read a blog that was about writing your book in a weekend. And authors that had done such a thing. I'm not necessarily recommending that's what people do, but it worked for me. And one of the suggestions was get out of the house, go to a hotel, go to a coffee room. A lot of great authors are known for doing that, and get away from all the technology. And that's what I did. And that's what worked for me.
I think that's what I found as well. I went away. I thought, I can't sit in front of the computer because there's too much client stuff and family stuff. And I just went away, and it was definitely the best way for me to do it. So, yeah, it's a good tip. If it's not flowing in front of the computer or in your office, go somewhere else.
I actually hand wrote it. I took 10 B4 legal pads. Because I honestly couldn't trust myself. If I took the mobile phone, if I took a laptop, I'd still be. So I wasn't getting away enough. So I took A4 legal pads and I hand wrote as I spoke. And what that did for me as well was it stopped me editing while I was writing. Mm. When you type on the computer, you write a sentence you don't like, doesn't sound right, and you change it and you keep going back and you lose your flow. And I didn't lose the flow once, because I sat and I literally hand wrote it. And then I had a lovely friend that typed it up. And then I had, you were my lovely proofreader and editor, and you took some sentences and went, no, it doesn't make sense. And you did that part. I wasn't trying to use my left hand, left side of my brain to edit while my right hand brain was trying to create, if that makes sense. So I found that an incredibly useful lesson.
Definitely. It's one of the things that I say to people, don't try and do both at once because you won't do either very well. And I can see that handwriting, it does cut out a lot of the temptation because it's much more difficult, isn't it, to edit when it's written on paper than when it's on a screen.
Absolutely. You can't just delete things and lose actually what might have been a really, really good idea.
Very true. Yeah. So how did you publish the book?
I met a lady called Lisa Cherry. Lisa Cherry had been recommended to me when I was in that moment when I thought, gosh, I need a team and I don't have any contacts in the publishing world. I've not been in this arena before. And somebody recommended Lisa Cherry to me because she had just published her book. And so I looked at Lisa's book. I liked the way it looked and it felt. I wanted my book to be about that same, regardless of the content of it. I liked the font, the size, the way it had been laid out and so on. So I really, what I did was I booked myself on one of Lisa's writing days so I could get to know her better and asked her who she used as her publisher. Mm. And she used Wilson King in Oxford, and I just did the same. And it was I believe the right term for it is micro publishing. He's a small publisher, independent, and he did all the publishing things that a publisher does. But doesn't really necessarily promote it from that point onwards. So it's still, I bought 500, I think he bought 500, and we went from there. But it was a good way into my debut, I think. I learned a lot working with him. I might not necessarily go that route next time, but I was very, very pleased with the outcome.
Okay, then. So what were the advantages of doing it that way through a micro publisher, and what were the disadvantages, if there were any?
The advantages for me were I didn't really have a whole bunch of time to go looking for a publisher that wanted to publish me. The old traditional route of sending your manuscript out to dozens of publishers and seeing if it fitted really didn't appeal to me at all. Plus, when you do that, from my understanding of other people I do know now that have done that way, the publisher wants a fair bit of control over how the final item ends up. And I didn't want that at all. I wanted complete control over how it all looked at the end. And I have to say, Wilson King were fabulous at that. They knew stuff. They were knowledgeable. So I didn't feel that I was a novice was holding me back in any way. But the fact that I wanted definite things and I wanted definite looks was never a problem. They were very accommodating for everything that I wanted. Mm. What they don't necessarily do a lot of, and nor would you expect them to, is the marketing bit afterwards. So if someone's writing a book and it's their first book and they are not of a sales or marketing nature and they're expecting the publisher to do that work for them, then micro publishing is going to be a disappointment for them. They put it in all the libraries, they get you registered on all the things that they have to do, but they're not going to proactively sell your book for you. But that wasn't the problem for me because I sell most of my books through my speaking engagements, and that's absolutely fine for me.
So if you've got some sort of platform that you know you're going to be able to promote your book on, then it sounds like micro-publishing is a good thing to look at.
I think so. I think so very much. And there are other platforms which perhaps might even be similar but even better in the sense that you don't have to, and you probably know more about this than I do, Alison, but where you don't have to buy so much stock. Yeah, I bought 500 and I tend to stock up in 500s because I get a really, really good price per book. But again, if you are not promoting that, if you're not speaking, if you're not moving that amount of books, then that could end up with 500 books in your garage if you're not careful.
Yeah.
So I know there are a lot of ones now where you can, it's almost like print on demand.
Yeah.
And, they even send it to your customers, I believe, as well.
Yeah. They do, depending on who you go through, yes. Yeah, and Amazon's CreateSpace does all the distribution for you, so, yeah. But no, it's definitely an interesting way of publishing it and getting it out there.
Yeah, so I still felt like I'd published a book.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely. So what has happened since publishing your book?
Oh, my goodness me.
could this take a while?
It's the whole thing's been a bit of a shock, actually. When I wrote it, as I said, it wasn't my mainstay business. I'm a corporate trainer. This was something that I found very exciting, and it was an easy write for me because because I did know it, because I could sit and tell those stories, because I could do it as if I was sitting with you as a coach. It wasn't easy, right? And so there was a bit of me that was thinking, let's just do this. Let's just get this out. And it will be a good way of cutting my teeth for the real book that I want to write. Mm. And that was my plan. I'd get that one out quickly. I'd learn the ropes with it. And then I'd get the next book out. And it hasn't gone that way at all, for all sorts of reasons. One, because I never imagined it would take off the way that it did, has. Not just in sales. The sales have been, you know, pretty good. But it's the speaking engagements and the publicity, if you like, that has happened since the book. And I would say now my cosmic ordering side of the business is equal to my corporate side in terms of attention and even income now. I never expected that at all. And as I say, it's not income from the books. The books themselves aren't what make you the biggest amount of the money, because it's a small profit margin for every single sale. But the book is like a big fat business card. And once you've got a book, that puts you in a different expert authority status for going to speaker engagements and all sorts of things. So that's where the money comes from. Now, what that's also led me to is an online community that I really hadn't experienced before. And what I found is instead of the urge to, I was thinking, right, I can write one book a year for the next 20 years and I'll have 20 books out in 20 years, that's fine. That's not what's happening now. What's happening is I'm realizing is the leverage and the products and online programs and things that you can do based on that book. So my attention, instead of going into next book, next book, next book, is actually all the products and services that can leverage off of that one book. So the whole thing has been an enormously exciting learning curve.
And I guess anyone who's publishing, well, I guess non-fiction books in some sort of specialist area can capitalise on that, can devise products and services and workshops and talks around the content of their book.
Absolutely. And this is what happened. People who read the book, and I put everything into the book I possibly could. I didn't do it as a sales leader at all. My intention was that when somebody had that book, they had everything that was in my brain about cosmic ordering. They could go and do it. But what I found is that people appreciate that and they love it and they're doing it. But then they go, what's next? What's next? Can I come on a workshop? Can I do it? And they want more. Mm. So I've found that I ran a workshop and then I ran another one, and I'm probably running a workshop every month now. Oh, and of course, as in what's happened since then, of course, I know that you know, last month I won Author of the Year.
I was just going to ask you about that. Yeah, tell us more about that.
I almost forgot about that. Author of the Year 2014 at the Women Inspiring Women National Awards for the book. So
congratulations. Fantastic.
Thank you. That was pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And what I liked particularly about it is that it was that I believe there were 600 plus nominations. Mm. So that was cool. It was then shortlisted by a panel of judges. But the final thing was it went out to public vote. So that's always nice, I think, if you sort of voted for these things by the very people that have read your book, which is nice. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Did you get a nice trophy?
I got a lovely trophy. Nice crystal trophy. It catches the rainbows very well. And none of this was intended at the outset, but it is very nice to be able to say now I'm an award-winning author. Mm. And again, that sort of knocks you up again in the status of being attractive to past speaking engagements and so on. So it's a nice thing to have.
I have to ask you, did you ever ask the universe to make you Author of the Year?
Yes-ish. what happened, if you've got time to hear the story, is I have a vision board by my desk, and I had just put a little picture up there of a very lovely lady in an evening cocktail dress holding a Grammy Award. I didn't put it on there because I wanted to win a Grammy Award. I put it up there purely for the sense of achievement and recognition in my industry. So that was what I put on the vision board. The very next day, an email came in and said, what have Grammys and Emmys got to do with your business? Mm. I saw that headline and thought, well, that's darn spooky, seeing as I've just put a Grammy on my thing. So I opened it up, and that was all about the awards. And that was the first time I saw the awards. And then when I saw the awards, that was the moment I thought, do you know what? Actually, I wouldn't mind winning an Author of the Year. On June 5th, I was nominated. And then on, oh, sorry, that was June the 3rd. And on July the 5th, I went and picked up the award from stage.
Wow. So, a month and 2 days from ordering it to getting it. That's not bad going, is it?
Not bad going.
So what lessons and tips could you pass on to other aspiring authors?
Okay. A few tips. First of all, don't wait. Don't wait. When I think back and put myself back in the headset of wanting to write a book for many, many years, there's always this element of you want it to be perfect. What happens is, I used to be like this at school. You used to get a brand new exercise book and it was gorgeous and lovely and new, and you'd not written in it. And until you wrote in it, it could be perfect. And then the minute you wrote on it and scribbled out something out on the first page, you've ruined it. And I think we all have a little bit of that. So if you've got an urge to write a book, things are so much easier now to be able to do that. So don't wait to get started. In a way, version one is better than version none.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So just do it.
Just do it. Yeah. Take time off work. You know, take a break. Take a holiday if you need to, but just do it. Don't worry about that thing of who am I to write a book, or it's all been done before, because everybody has their unique take on it. And you, even if it's a subject that's been talked about a lot, or a story or a genre that's been done before, you will have your own unique slant on it. So don't wait for that and don't worry about that. The second thing is though, do your very best. So do your very best, make the effort, do get a team, have a professional proofreader and editor, because it is important. It is going out there and it is representing you. So you don't want to rush to publish something that perhaps is not your best work. So don't wait to be perfect, but do your best is my advice. And then do research. Do have a little look and see about all the different ways that you can publish. There are so many ways now. You don't even have to have a real book. You can just put it straight to Kindle. And, you know, and have a look at what's going to be best for you and your personality. And the last tip really is be realistic. Don't imagine that this is going to shoot you to fame and glory if you're not going to do the work afterwards. I think what I see a lot of people, they make writing the book the goal. No, the book is just the start. You know, yeah. If you're looking to make this a career, or you're looking to build yourself a niche with your book, then the book is just a step in that journey. So don't sit back after you've written the book and expect it all to come rolling in, because it won't.
That's all fantastic advice. So thank you for that. I'm sure other people will find that really useful. Now, before we go, you mentioned right at the beginning, you said that you thought this book, Cosmic Ordering Made Easier, would be a kind of putting your toes in the water, a bit of a test one before your proper book. Mm-hmm. So what are your writing plans for the future?
Well, are you fishing for the title of my next book?
Well, maybe.
Okay, well, yes, the next book is going to be called Get Over Yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's taking the 18 top excuses that stop people getting from where they are now to where they want to go. It's all about the stories that we tell ourselves and the metaphors that we get embroiled in. And it's taking each one of those, and the way it's looking that it might be structured at the moment is each chapter will be one of those key stories. The reason it's going to be a bigger book is I'll be interviewing people that have got that problem or got that story to an nth degree. Mm. And it should have stopped them, and it didn't. They've overcome, and they've got massive success in whatever way you want to measure success, not necessarily financially. You know, there's all sorts of ways of doing that. And then I'm going to sort of hit that from, it's going to be a really resource rich book. It's not just advice, but there's going to be lots of contacts, lots of tools in there, practical tools that people can use. So that's the big book project, and that's an ongoing thing. Then as far as Cosmic Ordering is concerned, I've got a series of ebooks that I'm going to be writing that are looking very specifically at the little niches within that. So Cosmic Ordering for Health, Cosmic Ordering for Happiness, Cosmic Ordering for Relationships. Yeah, and so one of the other things that I'm going to be doing as well is I'd had this notion that the business world that I worked in, the corporate world, wouldn't really accept this idea of cosmic ordering. And actually, that's been another shock. They have hugely. And in fact, I've been asked to speak at a number of sales conferences now where they specifically wanted me to do sales with cosmic ordering. So that's been absolutely amazing. I know. And what that's led to is thinking about doing a series of ebooks as well now for business. I've always wanted to write about customer service and sales, but there are so many books out there that I thought, what else could I offer? And now I realise that I can. So they're going to be called the Working Miracle Series, and because we're quite happy to call someone at work a miracle worker. So the Working Miracle Series will be Working Miracles in Customer Service, Working Miracles in Sales, Working Miracles in Recruitment, Working Miracles in Management, and so on. And that will be a series of tangible books that people can use in the corporate workplace to go along with my courses, but also ebooks as well. So, yeah, there's a lot on my plate, and I'm going to be busy for some time, I think.
I was going to say, it sounds like you've got your work cut out for the next couple of years, I think, even if they only take you a week each.
It's funny. I really thought, having done that the once, it would be like shelling peas from then on, but it hasn't quite been like that. But I think what has happened is just there's been so much come out of that one book that I'm still really trying to let the dust settle and get a formula. And now I'm in the process of building databases and learning about a whole lot of online stuff that I've never done before. So, it's not a case of standing still at all, but getting the next book out might not be the main priority at the moment.
Well, it sounds like you've got some very exciting times up ahead of you. Good luck with the workshops, the speaking, the books that you've got planned, and keep in touch. And thank you for all the wonderful tips that you've given us today.
Brilliant. It's been my pleasure, Alison. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you, Ellen. You're very welcome. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Ellen. If you'd like to find out more about Ellen Watts, visit her website, www.ellen-unlimited.com. That's ELLEN-unlimited.com, where you can buy her book, Cosmic Ordering Made Easier, and find out more about Ellen and the workshops she runs. To hear more conversations with authors, visit www.theproofferry.com/conversations. I'm Alison Thompson, and I'll be back soon with another Conversations with Authors podcast. Bye for now.